On July 16th, 1969, Apollo 11 launched from Kennedy Space Center. And I was reading about this mission and just diving into it. It was noted repeatedly from everybody that was involved the amount of people and parts that it took to make the preparation, the launch, the flight, the landing on the moon, the trip back, to make all of that possible. It said that there were millions of parts that were necessary to make this mission a success. And for all these parts to do what they were designed to do, they had to do what they were made to do. NASA estimated that it had taken more than 400,000 people, engineers, scientists, technicians, and others, to accomplish this mission. And the whole mission was designed and planned in such a way that every single part and every single person had to do their job and had to be engaged for it to be a success. We could sit back and wonder, and we've seen this, but what would happen if some of the parts failed? Right? What would happen if some of the people became unengaged or failed to complete their task or their duty? Depending on what part or the person, it could have kept it from launching or landing or returning or any other issue. And you have all these parts and all these people united on one task. When there is unity, church, when there is focus, when there is commitment, amazing things can be achieved. Amen? Man, we see that. The mission of Apollo 11 was a big deal. I think we can all say amen. That was a big deal, right? It was a big deal. But the mission that Jesus has put before His church is far greater than putting any man on the moon. The mission given to us by Jesus is one that He has called all of us, His church, to be fully engaged and committed to. Apollo 11 took people with different backgrounds and different skill sets and abilities and different roles to accomplish that mission. I want us to imagine something. Imagine the church being the church, where the people all over the world are fully engaged with Jesus' mission. Imagine all the people in this room. Imagine all the people in this room. The backgrounds, the experiences, the gifts, the abilities, and the passions of God's people. All of that being unleashed. Imagine all the people here fully engaged, fully committed to the mission of Jesus. Just picture what could be accomplished if all of that was unleashed and if all of us said, man, we're in. Jesus has called all of us, if we know Him as our Lord and your Savior. He says in Matthew chapter 4, follow me. Right? Follow me and I will make you fishers of men, people, right? Women, everybody. We become followers of Christ and we don't stop there. Jesus doesn't just say, follow me. He says, follow me and I will have a job for you to do. We become followers of Christ and then we're to be on mission to lead others to Him. We introduced this year really focusing on the idea of God continue to do things in and through us that only you can take credit for. That's a big ask, isn't it? That's a big ask of us to bring before God. Do things in and through us that only you can take credit for. And I look back and what we talked about this year, we look at the place that He has planted us, where our church meets, where we go to school, where we go to church, the people we live next to, the people that are in our family. God's no dummy. He's sovereign. He has you where you are for a reason. And we look at it and say, okay, God says, this is your area. This is your area of influence or wherever I call you to. Now, the people that you come in contact with, man, they are people that you have spiritual responsibility for. That's a big deal. And sometimes our Christian life looks like, man, we're going to go to church on Sunday. We're going to slap K-Love on the back of our car. We're going to crank up that music. Our kids are going to know the songs. Man, we're going to put it on Facebook. Christian, take that, Facebook, right? But what do we do outside of that? Are we being the church? Are we sharing the gospel? You know, here's what Jesus did. Jesus says, while you were still sinners, Christ died for you. And our job is to have that same love for those that are next to us because He died for us. Somebody had the guts and the boldness to share the gospel with us. If you know Jesus as your Savior, and if you don't, you're going to hear it today about a God that loves you, about a God that says you're messed up. Like he looked at me and he says, Jeff, you're messed up. You're broken. You can't do this on your own, but I can do it. I can fill that gap. I can fill that void. I can love you like you'll never ever be loved in your life. I can forgive you for the junk you haven't even done yet. Right? I'm that big, God says. Jesus says, I'm going to accomplish all that on the cross. And he comes and he dies and he doesn't stay dead. He rises again. And now he says, I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. If we know Christ, he's preparing a place for us. And so for us, he's continuing that mission through his church. Are you with me? Last week we looked at that in Matthew chapter 16. He's building his church and we get to be a part of that. He says, follow me. Come and make me Lord of your life. I'm the answer, right? I'm the answer. But then I need you to do me a favor. No, I don't need you to do me a favor. I need you to obey and I need you to be on mission. I need you to be on mission. Sometimes we just need to be told to be obedient, don't we? I want you to tell others about me. Can you imagine? Just look at the people in the room. Can you imagine the impact if we, the church, fully engaged with Jesus on that mission? Every single person in these areas, in this seat right now. If we say, Jesus, man, we trust you as Lord and Savior, and now we're in because we want to pass this on to someone else. We're fully engaged in that mission. A people united and focused and committed to what God has called us to do. Using spiritual gifts he has given us. The resources he has given us. The abilities he has given us. The passions he has given us. I don't know what America did, but we turned Christianity into a place where we come and we sit in a pew on Sunday and then we go home. And we might say a prayer over a meal, but Jesus says, I saved your butt. Now get off of your butt and go tell other people about the salvation that I have to offer. Amen, church? Last week, we looked at Matthew chapter 16. Jesus asked his disciples, he says, who do you say that I am? And Peter responded, he said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. He was saying that you are the promised Messiah. You are the Christ, the one and only Savior. You are the God that has come to be with us, to love me when I didn't deserve to be loved, to save me whenever it was my death to die. And we looked last week and Peter answered that question. You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter answers that question. How he answered that question is going to determine how he followed him. Right? How he answers that question is going to determine how we follow Jesus, how we answer that question. Right? If we look at Jesus and say, okay, he was a good dude. He was a good man in history. We're going to follow him. If that's our answer, that's how we'll follow him. We'll follow him as he was a good man in history. If Jesus were a prophet or just a teacher, we would follow him as such. But knowing that Jesus is the Christ, he is God, he is the Savior, that changes how we follow Jesus. That means we now follow him as Lord and God and Savior. Means he's in charge. We read last week that Jesus is building his church and the gates of death and hell will not prevail against it. It's his church. It's not my church. It's not Levi's church or Pastor Jay or Jamie's church. It's Jesus' church. Colossians 1:18 says this, he, Jesus, is the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 1:22 verse 23 tells us, and he put all things under his feet and gave him Jesus as head over all things to the church, which is his, what church? Is his body. And so if we know that Jesus is the head of the body, I want us to look at a couple texts before we get to our main text today. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. By the way, there's a Bible at the end of the row. If there's not one, just slip your hand up. We'll get you one. If you don't own a Bible, take that sucker with you, man. It's yours. It's free. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Here's what he says. Now you, if you know Christ, you're the body of Christ. If you don't know Christ, he wants you to be part of the body of Christ. The Bible says that he desires all to come to know him, all that would be saved. If we know Christ, now you are the body of Christ and individual members of it. Romans chapter 12 gives us another picture of the body of Christ. Paul writes in verse 4 through 5, "Now as we have many parts in one body, and all the parts do not have the same function, in the same way, we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." Our body does different things. My hand can do what it does because my legs get me to where I need to go. Right? My legs can get me where I need to go because my muscles are doing their job. My vascular system is doing my job. Jay and Angel have to help me out with the rest of the parts of the body because I don't know all the names of them. But we have all the parts of the body that function as one. Are you with me? That's the church. How'd I do, Angel? Did I do all right? All right. Just leave it at that. Don't go anymore, right? We're safe. All right. Church, you see, it's Jesus' church. It's his body. He's the head. It's his mission. And as he builds his church, here's what God does. God's sovereign. He's in control, right? He knows what he's doing. And the Bible tells us that he has arranged each one of us being parts of the body. He's arranged the parts in the body just as he wants it. He's placed each of us here at Authentic Life for a purpose, or as part of the body as a whole, for a purpose. When we give our life to Christ, when we are born again, when we confess Jesus as Lord and we believe in him, he becomes our Savior, the Bible says that we are saved. And it's at that moment that we become part of his family. We become part of his body. We become part of the church. So first, we have a relationship with Christ. Isn't that great? Like, Jesus pursued us. If we know what the Bible says about our heart, actually just look in the mirror and you can kind of see what kind of, we're messed up, right? We're jacked up people, right? And Jesus pursued that relationship. So first we have a relationship with Christ. The guests are like, man, what do you think of people, man? All you're saying is we're messed up and broken and jacked and all that other stuff. We are. We're messed up. So we have a relationship first with Christ, and because of our relationship with Christ, we have a relationship with his family. With the church. And here's what I hope we see this morning. In just a second, we're going to look specifically at his mission from the words of Jesus. We look at this passage a lot. We talk about it. We reference it a lot. But we're going to dive into it today. The hope and prayer is this, that we would see the mission. And not only would we be fully engaged in that mission as individuals, but as a family, as a body, as the church. Apollo 11 mission took all the people and all the right parts in the right place to make the mission a success. That could not have been accomplished. This mission would not have been successful if only half the team or half the parts or 75% or 80% or 90% had been doing their job. It took 100% because they were better together. Amen, right? And I'm convinced that Authentic Life Church, in regard to being the church and being engaged with Jesus' mission, that we are better together. And Jesus, with him in charge and us being committed and focused and united to where and how he leads and calls us, and we can see God do things in and through us that only he can take credit for. When we are all in, when we work together, when we are under his leadership, we work together, we work better together, right? I mean, we can together accomplish the mission. I don't know if any of that made sense, but it makes sense to me. Like, we can accomplish it when we do it together. Are you with me? I don't know, again, in America, I don't know where we got this idea that, like, sharing the gospel is the responsibility of a missionary or a pastor or a teacher or somebody that's extroverted. God made you the way you did, the way he did, for a reason. And he's placed people the way they're where they are in your life for a reason. So we want to look at our lives, how God has made us, the way he's gifted us, and say, I'm all in. So this morning, let's read the words of Jesus from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 and 20. Would you guys mind standing as we honor God's word? Matthew, the first book in the New Testament, the very end of that is Matthew chapter 28, right before you get to Mark. Verse 16, the 11 disciples traveled to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshiped, but some doubted. And Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. Father God, we love you. And as we approach you right now in prayer, Father, we pray, God, that we would be a church that doesn't leave it up to the professionals. You have called all of us to be ambassadors. You've called all of us to be missionaries, all of us to share the gospel. Help us be all in on that. God, if there's somebody here today that, whether they're here for the first time or they've been here a million times, God, we pray, Lord, that if somebody does not have a relationship with you, they don't know Jesus as their Savior. God, we pray, Lord, that you would draw them near to yourself, and God, that they would trust in you today for salvation, and for your forgiveness, and for a new life in you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. As we look to God's word and look at the words of Jesus this morning for us as a church body, there's some very important takeaways for us. We want to be a Christ-centered church, amen? We want to be a gospel-focused, missional church. So together, let's be attentive to what God is going to teach us today. When we begin looking in verse 18, when Jesus began to talk, and he says, and Jesus came up and spoke to them, and here's what Jesus says. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So in looking at Jesus, and then we look at this word authority, Jesus says, all authority has been given to me. That word authority comes from the Greek word exousia. Exousia, meaning the authority of an executive. It means the power of influence or privilege. What we're seeing right here is this. Jesus has the right to rule your life, our church. He has the right, he has the Son of God, he has the right to rule as the victor over Satan and over death, he has the right to rule as our Savior. All authority on earth belongs to Christ, and he has the right to command and commission as he wishes. To be a Christ-centered, gospel-focused, missional church, we at Authentic Life Church, we begin by believing in the authority of Christ. Who we say Jesus is will determine how we follow him. If we don't look at him as an authority, we're looking at him wrong. We believe in the authority of Christ. On the back of your bulletins, there is a blank spot if you want to take notes this morning. We believe at this church in the authority of Christ. In the local church, there are biblical roles of leadership. Right? There are roles, biblical roles within the body for leadership within the church. But even over that leadership, over all the church, Jesus has the authority. So when you hear me say things like, this is not Jeff's church or Jay's or Jamie's or Levi's church, it's not our church. This church belongs to Jesus. It's our church. Are you with me? Yeah? Okay. Collectively, it's our church, but he is in charge. When we look throughout the Gospels, we see that Jesus has authority over all nature, all nations, all disease, even the demons, right? He has the authority over sin and death and over every single life. We've got to look at this passage, Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 through 11. Such a powerful verses. It says this, God highly exalted him, being Jesus. God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, check this out, church, every knee will bow. In heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus has the authority. Amen? And knowing this, it sets up for the commission and the direction for the church given by Jesus. He's about to lay out the command, the commission for the church. And with him, with Jesus as the head of the body, he is the one in authority. We have only one way to respond to Jesus. With obedience. We hear his commission and we obey. That's what we do. Our first takeaway was this. As a church, we believe in the authority of Christ. And for us to be Christ-centered, gospel-focused, missional, the second is this. We obey the commands of Christ. In verse 18, Jesus says this. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And in verse 19, he follows it up. He says, go therefore and make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples. A lot of times when we read this passage and you read that word go, sometimes that freaks people out. We think about, oh goodness, I don't know about that. I'm not ready to be a missionary, right? I don't know, God. I've seen what you've done to Jeff, right? I don't know if I can be a church planter, right? And we get this picture in our mind that this means that we are to go somewhere. And that may be true. He may say, go. There's a very clear time in our life where Jesus is told Jessica and I, where God has told Jessica and I, you're going to go to Tucson. You're going. Jesus might call you to go somewhere. We have a couple people in our church outside of us that have followed God's call in their families or whatever to go somewhere and share the gospel. Specifically by being a pastor, a missionary, a church planter. But when we read go, it actually means this. As you go, as you're doing life, in your daily walk. So it may be calling you to go somewhere, but it is always a call to share the gospel wherever you are and wherever you go. You with me? Next week, our guest, Bob Baer, will be here, and he shares stories of his mentor, his former pastor, my former pastor, that used to live this out so well. Brother Joe is the man that founded, and Jesus did that, but he was the church planter of Antioch Bible Baptist Church. And talk about this. This is amazing. Antioch has been around, in Kansas City, has been around for, I think, 54 years. And Bob is their second senior pastor. It's just amazing what God is doing there. But Brother Joe was such a good leader and exemplar. He showed Bob will tell you, he lived this out in his life, being on mission. He would teach you don't have to have the most elegant words. You don't have to have a seminary degree or even to be extroverted, as we talked about before, right? You don't have to be some, you just need to know Jesus, right? You just need to know Jesus, know that Jesus has the authority and then you obey him, right? That's what we do. And Brother Joe, that's what we called him. Brother Joe, he would just start conversations. Pastor Bob will tell you stories about how he was just standing in line at the grocery store, and the next thing you know, he's sharing the gospel with somebody. That's awesome, right? Maybe on his front porch or over a meal. Or maybe it's time that you have to take time to build a relationship with someone. So Jesus says, go therefore as you do life, as you go, whether it's just to your neighbor or whether it's out on the mission field, as you go. And he says this, because of who I am and what I say, go and make disciples. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Now, when we hear that word disciple, it might scare us a little bit. We might not know what it means. We might find ourselves, freaking out a little bit. What exactly does that mean? How does one make a disciple? In Matthew chapter 4, remember when Jesus said, follow me? And he follows that up with, and I will make you fishers of men. We come to know Christ. We become followers of Christ. And then here, Jesus is calling us to tell others about, bring others to Christ, lead others to him, share the gospel with them, be his witnesses, as we read in Acts 1:8. We become fishers of men and women. And if a person comes to know Christ, right, there can be that temptation to say, awesome, heaven is celebrating, right? All of heaven rejoices, right? And we did good, way to go, man, we can just go home now. And that's true. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one comes to know Christ. But Jesus doesn't say, go and make a convert. He doesn't say, go and share the gospel and just pray they get saved. He says, make disciples. So we intentionally share Jesus with others. We tell them about our Lord and Savior and the life that he has for them. Man, we share our story about what Jesus did in our life. Amen, church? And we talk about the forgiveness that is available and the relationship that they can have with him. And if they get saved, if the Lord draws them near and they trust in Christ, then you teach them how to be a follower of Christ. Are you with me? Like, we teach them how to be a follower of Christ. We have a responsibility as individuals and as a church to do that. To teach and be a godly example of how to be a Jesus follower. To be fully obedient, church. We share the gospel of Jesus. We have to share the gospel. And then if they believe and they become a child of God, then we continue to be obedient to Jesus by teaching them to be a follower of Jesus. With authority, Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. But the command doesn't stop there. There's more. If it stopped there, it might make us think that we just engage with folks right around us and share Jesus with those that are around us. But it goes on. Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples of who, church? Let's try that again. All right. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. What does that mean? What does that look like? Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ of all nations. Amen. I want us to get this picture together because we at Authentic Life, we want to be a church that makes disciples. We want to be a church that shares the gospel and helps people grow in their walk with Christ. And we want to be a church that does that right here in Tucson, but also in all nations. Here's what the word nations refers to. The word nations is talking about a multitude associated or living together. The word nations means a tribe, a nation, or a people group. It means the human family. That's what it means to share Jesus with all nations, everybody. So we're to reach all nations. When we look at this in its context, Jesus is saying that this isn't just for you. Why do we do that? Like, this is free stuff here, church. But we do that. Like, we trust Christ, and then we're like, well, I'm not going to talk to anybody else about it because it's personal. Where do we see that in the Bible? We have a personal relationship with Christ, but he says, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with the world. Are you with me? That was good free stuff, wasn't it? Come on now. All right. We do that. We keep it for ourselves. The good news is for everybody, for all nations. We don't want to be a Christian or follow Christ that says, I got it. I'm a Christian. I received his salvation and his forgiveness. And now I'm just going to sit here and be served in the church and take it all in. No, church, we're missing something if that's what we do. Are you with me? We're missing something. The fact that they and we are to be disciples of all nations reminds us that the gospel is to be shared everywhere to everyone. Everywhere. Everyone. To be missional, we must understand that. Jay, is that what you're talking about? When I get excited, you have to turn it down a little bit? That's what you're talking about? Okay. Man, we got to get excited about sharing Jesus. Amen, church. He's telling these followers right there, you don't just share this to the Jews, right? You share it with the Gentiles. For us, we don't just share it with the Caucasian or Hispanic or black or this area or this way. You share it with the world. Not to just those in America, but every man, woman, boy, and girl that God ever created needs to hear about Jesus. I remember the song we sang as kids, Jesus loves the little children. All the children of the world, red, brown, yellow, black, and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. It doesn't stop there. It says Jesus died for all the children. All the children of the world. Jesus rose for all the children. All the children of the world. Jesus lives for all the children. What a great lesson we learned in childhood and sometimes forget as adults. You and I are not the deciders of who will accept Christ or give their life to Christ. Our job is to share it, to connect people to Jesus, to make disciples, help them grow up in their faith in Christ so that they too can go on and share the gospel with other people. Salvation by Christ should be offered to all, leaving none excluded. I don't care if they called your mama names. I don't care if they beat you up as a kid. I don't care if they make more money than you or less than you or if they've been in prison or if they're homeless. All people should hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen, church? 2 Corinthians 5, Paul, while speaking to those that are in Christ, those that know Jesus, in verse 20, he says this, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, we beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For us, we know what ambassadors are. Our ambassadors are the ones that the president sends out to represent the U.S. throughout the world. Right? That's what they do. That's their goal. That's what they should do. They carry a message. They represent the U.S. and they carry a message. the message becomes their message to those that, where they're sent to. The U.S. ambassador is, let me start over. The U.S. ambassador is not meant to be sent out on their own personal agenda. It's to represent the United States of America to the world. It's to share the message of the United States, to carry the values of the United States throughout the world. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We are called to represent Him, right? We're called to share His message. And I love His message. It's this: God wants only a couple white people to be reconciled to Him. God wants only a few Hispanics to be reconciled to Him. Bull, church, man. God wants all to be reconciled to Him. Are you with me? Man, I don't know where we just got this. Sorry, Mom. Crap that the gospel is only for a certain select few of people. He wants all to be reconciled. Man, where did we come up with this racial barriers? Are you with me? This is more free stuff, man. I'm telling you, man, we look at people and we look at them and we look down on them, or we look up to them, or we look at them like Jesus sees them, and He says, I want all to become reconciled to Christ. He wants a personal relationship with all people, regardless of what your background is. He wants all to repent of their sins. And He wants all to trust in Christ as their Savior. We talk a lot about coming to know Christ. Let me be very clear. You must repent of your sins to come to know Christ. You must turn from yourself and turn to Jesus Christ. There's no other way. You must say, I've been doing this my way for a long time, but now, Jesus, I know that You are Lord, and I'm going to follow You. Jesus gives that familiar command in Acts 1:8. We talk about this a lot at church. Jesus says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth. Do you see that again? All nations. Matthew 28, Acts 1:8, must be onto something here, right? Even to the uttermost parts of the earth. That might be a place in Tucson that we don't want to go to. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to be witnesses and to make disciples. And Jesus, let me be very clear, church, Jesus commands it. Jesus commands it. And we as a church, collectively, we're going to be obedient to what He calls us to do. Matthew 28, 19 goes on to say, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, more for us to be obedient to. Notice that the command to baptize is after the command to go and make disciples. Baptism is not salvation. The Bible is very clear about that, but it is obedience. The water baptism bears witness that the one who has received the Holy Spirit and has accepted Christ, that they are saved. Baptism is for a believer in Christ. It's a profession of faith saying, I'm beginning in this new life with Christ. Are you with me? So we'll be obedient in that. I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm committed. I'm going to start by being obedient in the area of baptism. Then we go on to verse 20, teaching them to observe. You make disciples, baptize them, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. This life change, this new life in Christ, it doesn't end with one simply becoming a believer or a Christian. We are to learn, we are to grow, right? We're to remain teachable and to be teaching others. When we go and make disciples here and throughout the world, we're to teach not what we think, but we're to teach what Jesus taught, did, and commanded. We're to be obedient to Him personally in our lives and as a church, to be obedient to Him, and then we teach what He teaches us. I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with folks here in Tucson and back in Kansas City where we're from, where someone will say, well, we just don't believe that part. We don't follow that part of the Bible. I've received the question, why is what you teach any better than what this place or this person teaches? Let me be very clear. There should be no difference in what's being taught here than behind another pulpit. Are you with me? I'm going to get a little excited here. I just want you to know that this is a big deal. I can't help but think that there might be a little less confusion in this world when it comes to the Bible and following Christ if we stop teaching just what we want to teach, or picking and choosing what we want to teach or learn or believe. There might be a little less confusion if we simply taught what Jesus and God's Word commanded us to teach. If we taught from the Bible, straight from God's Word, I think it's important for us as Christians and us as a church to get this right. 2 Timothy makes a very clear statement. It doesn't say Some scripture. It doesn't say bits and pieces of scripture. It says all scripture is inspired by God. We have no business adding or taking away from the Bible. We have no business adding or taking away or adjusting the Bible because it might not be politically correct. We have no business altering scripture because it doesn't fit a popular truth or because it doesn't sit well with us. Are you with me? We are not God, and therefore not the deciders of what truth is. Amen? We need to get that one, church. We're not God, and we don't decide what truth is. Amen? Paul gives a statement in the next chapter, 2 Timothy, that states this. Tell me if this sounds familiar. For the time will come when the world will not endure sound doctrine. But wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desire. And they will turn away their ears from the truth. They'll turn away from God's word, from what Jesus says, and they will turn aside to myths. This message is from Paul to Timothy telling him, remain faithful, right, to Jesus' teaching and to God's word, regardless of what others think or say, regardless of what culture says. We live in a time where folks want to redefine truth and create their own rules, and they bring along teachers that will satisfy what they want to hear. I also think it can be easy for us. We can find ourselves saying, man, we love God, we love the Word of God, but then find it easier and easier to only becoming obedient to certain parts of God's Word. Are you with me? Man, I'm just going to be honest. I can help you out with this one. We've all done it. We find it easier to be obedient to some of God's Word or the parts that we're most comfortable with. But by the grace of God, we as a church and as individuals, we remain faithful to the Word of God, we'll remain faithful to God, to His Scriptures, and not waver from teaching it, and we'll strive to live it out. You guys tracking with me today? No? I hope so. I hope this is just like diving in deep, guys. We're to be a church that knows Jesus, that Jesus is the authority. We're to be a church that obeys and that command the commands of Christ. And I'm committed as your pastor. We need to be committed as a church body to be Christ-centered, gospel-focused, a missional church by being obedient to the commands of Christ. Which means, as we do life, we are to remain focused on making disciples. Life's busy. I'm with you. Like, life's tough. But we have to stay focused on making disciples in our day-to-day life, to the nations, because that's what He calls us to do. We are to be obedient, to baptize, and to teach all that Jesus has commanded, to remain faithful to what He teaches. And after all that, I love this last sentence of Jesus' commission to the church. Jesus leaves a huge promise for His disciples and for us. He closes by saying, and remember, I. This is huge. Are you ready? Remember, I, Jesus, the one that came for you. The one that came to seek and to save you, right? The one that came to die in your place. The one that came so you can have forgiveness. The one that came so that you can be a part of the family of God. The one that rose from the dead and defeated your sin and defeated death and defeated Satan. It's me, I, the Lord, that I want to be your Lord and Savior, the one that saved you. I am with you always to the end of the age. What a promise that is. People will fail us, but Jesus will never leave us alone. The book of Matthew, check this out. This is good stuff. Matthew begins in chapter 1, verse 23. He says this, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated in your help, church, which translated means what? God with us. At the beginning of Matthew, and then at the end of Matthew, we have God with us, and then Jesus says, I am with you always. The message should get us pumped up and excited to share Christ with others here, there, and everywhere. But here's the thing, our focus is this. God, continue to do things in and through us that only you can take credit for. I'm going to just be honest with you, church. This mission is impossible without Christ. You can't save anybody. We can't save anybody. It is through the power of the Holy Spirit. It is because of Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection, and the life that he offers, that it is all possible. That is why it is vital that we know that it is his church and it is his mission. And we, as his church, we will know that he's the authority, we will be obedient, and we will depend on the presence of Christ. If we try to do church by the power of Jeff, we're in big trouble. I was expecting a lot more amens. Thanks for being kind, all right? If we try to do church and be on mission and our collective strength on our own, we will fail. But if we know that Jesus has the authority, if we are obedient to his commands, if we depend on the presence of Christ as we do his mission, as his church, there is no telling what God may do in and through Authentic Life here in Tucson and around the world. As a church, as Authentic Life Church, we are committed to be a church that is Christ-centered, gospel-focused, and missional. To be missional here and throughout the world. There's a lot of ways we can do that, and we are doing that as a church. We can support other church plants in a local mission field. Like, we get to celebrate that we're working with Jamie right now, Pastor Jamie, to go out and plant a church in an area that we're not able to reach. 17,000-18,000 people, no church reaching them. Most of those people are destined for hell. And so we get involved with church planting. We can support missionaries that are on the foreign mission field. We do that. There's a percentage of our tithes and offerings that go out to support missions. We can be sent as individuals and go out and share the gospel and make disciples, whether that's overseas, whether that's in a different state, or whether that's right in your neighborhood or in your house. We can love our neighbors. We can serve them. We can engage people near us and help them and love them. We can find and fill needs and fill bellies. But in all we do, we must point them to Jesus. We might take care of a temporary need by filling a belly, but we need to take care of that eternal need by sharing Jesus. We need to proclaim him boldly. People must know that we love, serve, and care and share, not because of who we are, but because of Jesus. Amen, church? We have looked at this before, but it's too great a picture to miss this morning. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gives that command, right? I'm going to give you the power. You're going to go do it. You're going to be my witnesses, right? Here, there, and everywhere, to the ends of the earth. He says, here's the mission. Go tell people about Jesus. And then he says this, or he gives that command. And then in verse 14, we read this, about 120 people gathered in the upper room. And it says this, these all with one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. That those people, they were united. They were focused on the mission to tell others about Jesus. They were dependent on God in prayer. Let's, as a church, be united and focused on his mission. Let us find ourselves completely dependent on him. God, if you're part of this church, God has called us together as a church body. He has gifted you. He's gifted me. He's gifted all of us that know him so that with him as the head of us, together, united and focused, we can be on mission for him and see others around us come to know Christ. Because we're better together. All of the parts, all the people put together by God to accomplish his mission. Here's a tough question. Are you on the bench? Some of you would have to say yes. Maybe at other times in your life you've had to say yes. Maybe all of us have to say yes. But do you want to stay on the bench? Or are you all in? We're going to mess up, amen? We're people. We're going to screw up, but we're after it. There are people all around us that need Jesus. We can sit back and be comfy because we know where we're going to spend eternity. But your neighbor might not. They need his love and his salvation. So what I want to do is I want to invite us this morning to just pray. If you want to come forward, that's fine. If you want to pray where you're at, that's fine. I just want to give us a moment of quiet time and just pray, God, what do I need to do with this message today? Am I sitting on the bench or am I in? What do I need to do? What areas have you gifted me in that I can serve the church? There's all sorts of areas. I'm going to tell you, here's an amazing thing. There are a group of men and women that show up early in the morning to put the stage up and the chairs up and all that other stuff so that we can come collectively together and hear about God's word and worship Him together. It's important, right? There's a whole group of people back here that love your kiddos and that teach them the word of God and that keep them safe. Are you with me? Man, there's a lot of things we can do to serve. Man, we need to get our tushies off our couch and share the gospel with those around us. So I want to ask you this morning to spend some time in prayer. What is my next step? What do I need to do to be Christ-focused, to be gospel-focused, to be missional, and to be a part of this church? And I want to ask this question. If there's somebody here today that would say, you know what, I might have been religious, I might have heard about it, I might have been to church a couple times, I might even have Christian listed on my Facebook page as my religious views. But if you have never given your life to Christ, you have to start there. You have to start there. If you do not know Jesus personally as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says, for the wages of sin is death. What we deserve because of our sin is eternal separation from God forever. That's what the Bible says. But the gift of eternal life is through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. You want to live a new life in Christ? You want to give your life to Christ? You have to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So I want to give you that opportunity as well. So if you guys would just take some time and pray about that. If you know Christ, what is my next step? Am I on the bench? Maybe there's a time of rest, and that's okay. Maybe you need to rest for a little bit. But what's my next step, God? How long do I need to rest, and what's my next step? And then above and beyond that, if we don't know Christ, don't leave here today without talking to somebody about Jesus and the life that He has for you. And so I went with eyes closed. Please do that for me. With heads bowed and eyes closed, spend some time in prayer. I'm talking to those that do not know Christ right now. If you're sitting here today and say, I do not have a relationship with Jesus, but I'm interested in knowing about this Jesus that you say that loves me and that died for me and has a new life for me, I would love to hear more about Him or give my life to Him. If that's you today, you can slip your hand up. I won't call you out. I won't call you forward. We'll just connect afterwards. Or you might say, man, it's been long enough. I'm going to come forward right now and talk about this Jesus. If you're here today and you need to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't wait. Do that today. You can slip your hand up and I'll know who you are and connect with you afterwards. God, what's our next step?